Our first reading is from Psalm 34, verses 1 to 10, and can be found in your Pew Bibles on page 561. And I will be reading from the Message Bible. And it's such a joy because David is saying here everything that I want to say this morning. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God seekers are full of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Read for us. Shall I just point that down? Yeah, point it down a little bit. Brilliant. Well done.
The rich putting their gift into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gift out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. This is the word of the Lord.
So, let's pray together just before we begin. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to you today and plant there anything you want to grow. Amen. All right, now we've had those little bags being handed around. Thank you very much indeed. Now, there are two different sizes of bags. If you have one, you can just hold it up and show the people around you. They're two different sizes, but they're actually the same weight. Okay, so does anybody, do you remember the old fun fair? You had to guess the weight of the cake. This is guess the weight of the bag. Does anybody want to guess in grams? In grams. Well, metric here. Anybody want to hazard a guess of the weight of those bags?
200.
Oh, close but no prize yet.
400.
Close but no prize. Celia? What did you say? What? Oh, I think you chickened out there, Celia. Any other guesses? Nobody's hit the magic number yet. We'll give it one more go. No, too high. Too low. You haven't got a bag, Claire. You might want to. You might want to. Andy, any guesses? Oh, closest yet. You have to come and get a prize. Come on, you have to get a prize. That's, there you go. That's for you. That's your prize.
That'll shut me up.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Okay, now, Andy just got a first little clue. He's not to share it with anybody just yet. What vital thing for human beings is around 300 grams? You gave me away. The screen guy's fired. Who said it? Anybody say it? What did you say? Oh, the heart. You better come and get your prize then. Well done. Come and get your prize. There you go. Congratulations. Keep it close to your heart. There you go. Very good. Now, this actually gives me the perfect opportunity to share some really good news with you today. Because I actually just got my university degree to be a heart doctor. Yeah, I'm a bona fide cardiologist now. Yeah, can you believe it? Wait, what? Okay, well, thanks very much. There you go, it's the proof. Proof. Bona fide, that's me. Okay, now. Anyway, I did it online. And it took me a very long 6 weeks to qualify as a heart doctor. And it was actually a pretty grueling study. Yeah, but my hard work's paid off because they sent me my diploma and, you know, a doctor's coat and everything. Where's my diploma? So do you want to show everybody my diploma? Yeah, that's the proof. You can't argue with that. You know, don't I look good? Yeah. Okay, now, from my new perspective as a fully qualified heart doctor, I can now understand today's passage better about the widow's offering, the widow's mite more clearly. Now, here's the four verses that Celia beautifully read for us. Now, on first examination, it's about a poor widow giving her last coins into the temple's treasury pot. But actually, it's not really a passage about money at all. It's about the quality of the widow's heart that lay behind what she did. Now, I can tell this obviously because I'm a heart doctor now, you know, so it's easy for me to see. Now, a friend of mine had some heart trouble recently and she was very worried. So she went to see a heart doctor. Now, when she went to see the heart doctor first listened to her heart to hear its physical rhythms. Now, I haven't actually had any patients yet. So is anybody willing to be my first patient? Celia, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Let's go. Now I'm going to listen to the physical rhythms of Celia's heart. Let me listen to your physical rhythms. Yeah. Oh, better get the right side. Yeah. No, that my training taught me that it's over here. Oh, hang on. I better put it in, hadn't I? Well, they didn't cover that in the course. You know, give me a break. All right. Okay. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Oh, extremely healthy physical rhythm, Celia. I better give you a heart lollipop for that. And a round of applause, perhaps, for their heart lollipop. You may sit. Well done. Thank you very much, Celia. First patient, tick the box. Lovely. Now, very good physical heart rhythms. Okay, well, oh, I forgot. You need to come and get your clean bill of health. A clean bill of health. There you go. That's very useful in case you go to the doctor and give him a clean bill of health. Okay. All right. Now, okay. So Jesus listens to our hearts too. But Jesus isn't listening to our physical rhythms. He's listening to the spiritual rhythms of our heart. And what does Jesus hear when he listens to our hearts? Are there any bad thoughts in there? Bad attitudes? Any unforgiveness, any bitterness, any negativity and gossip. Because whatever is rooted in our hearts comes out in the form of our words and behavior. The people that we are starts in and flows out of our hearts. It all starts there. And Jesus can hear everything that's going on in our hearts. He doesn't need this. Because the Bible says no secrets are hidden from him. And he cares about what he hears in our hearts. Now, when my friend went to the heart doctor looked at the size of her heart by taking x-rays. Nurse, the x-rays, please. Thank you, nurse. Oh, chop, chop. Okay. Oh, you're wearing a very apt T-shirt this morning, Nurse Sarah. You like your job, yeah?
Yes.
It's a good job, isn't it? Hang on, just for, you know, lots of hours. Have a heart-shaped lollipop. Thank you very much, Nurse. Thank you, Nurse. Lovely. Now, my extensive medical training tells me on examination of the... My extensive training tells me that here we have a very small heart. Here we have a very small heart. Now, people with small hearts, they're impatient, dishonest, jealous, unkind, miserly, unloving. You see this x-ray here, actually, it seems to be the blood supply seems to be bypassing this heart altogether. Interesting, yes, a very small heart indeed. Now, Jesus watched the rich people putting a lot of money into the temple treasury pot. But it's not particularly hard to give a lot when you have plenty to give in the first place, is it? They weren't actually making much of a sacrifice at all. They had plenty left over for themselves, so they wouldn't really need to have put their trust in God at all to provide for their every need. And what about those wicked Pharisees who are hovering around in the background of this passage, who were just desperate to get an opportunity to kill Jesus? Jesus looks at the heart, size of our heart, but he doesn't need an x-ray machine because he has x-ray vision. Jesus can see right through us, and he is not proud of the small-hearted. Okay, next x-ray. Well, as I can see, yes. Now, this is a big heart. This person has a big heart, as you can see. Now, big-hearted people are kind, even when there's no reward in it for them. They share well, they help well, they listen well, they love well, even their enemies. In fact, they reflect the big heart of Jesus himself. The poor widow from our passage, she gave everything she had into the temple collection pot, which was just a couple of pennies. But it's much harder to give when you have very little, isn't it? She would be relying on God now to provide for her every need. Comparatively speaking, this widow was making a much bigger sacrifice than everyone else. Spiritually, this woman gave far more than all the others, because giving with a big heart advances God's kingdom here on earth. Jesus could spot her big heart from a long way off. Jesus can see right through us, and he's very proud of the big-hearted. And when my friend went to the heart doctor did an ultrasound to check for hardened arteries in her heart. Oh dear. Hard hearts can kill us physically. But Jesus is very concerned about spiritually hard hearts, because they can kill us spiritually. And that has eternal repercussions. Jesus examines us to see if our hearts are hard or soft. Now, look at the bags that were given out earlier. Now, they're in red and everything, okay? They represent our hearts. But see, two different sizes. Anybody notice? The small bags are hard if you have one. The hard bags are smaller. Because the small bags, the hard ones, are full of stones. They represent hard, small, stony hearts. Hard-hearted people put themselves first. They think the homeless person or the beggar, they've only got themselves to blame. I mean, it's the government's job to give to charity. You know, it's not my, you know. Hard-hearted people can't say sorry. They can't take responsibility. They hold grudges. They're judgmental, accusing. They've no pity or compassion for others. Jesus can't plant any of his seeds for spiritual growth in a hard, stony heart. Nothing of God can grow in a small, hard, stony heart. But the bigger bags are softer. See? They're like big, soft hearts. These people love God and others really well. They're joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled people. And these bags, they're full of soil. Jesus can plant his seeds for spiritual growth in good, soft soil. He can make things grow in big, soft hearts, and he can make them fruitful. Jesus has a big, soft heart, and he loves it when he sees the same in us. A soft heart is a giving heart. The widow in our passage from Luke had a soft heart. Luke gives some lovely, strong portrayals of women in his gospel, and he shows us their worth and value in the early church. And as it's Mother's Day today in the UK, let's pause to give thanks and to reflect on the worth and value of mothers everywhere, and grandmothers, and great-grandmothers, and mother figures, and godmothers, Albert. We need a hug later for that one. And mothers who are no longer with us. Happy Mother's Day. Bless you, Eileen. Thank you. God's plan is for mothers to reflect the heart of Jesus and to have big, soft, giving, self-sacrificing, serving, caring, and loving hearts. Right, so let's all be heart doctors for a moment. Let's examine our own hearts. Friends, the most dangerous heart disease is the heart disease that goes unnoticed. Let's examine our own hearts honestly with ourselves. What do we do if there's something wrong with our hearts? What do we do if our spiritual heart rhythms are off? Oh, what if our hearts are on the small side or a little bit hard? What if our spiritual arteries are blocked with taking in too many toxins from the world around us? What do we do with our grieving heart? Our suffering heart? Our cold heart? Our prideful heart? Our unforgiving heart, our anxious heart, our broken heart. What are we going to do then? Because spiritual heart disease, folks, is a terrible problem in the world. Oh, no. Well, my friend's doctor can't help with that. I mean, my online diploma can't help with that. Oh, great. What hope do we have? Well, friends, when we have a heart problem, there's only one place to go. Only one place that will give us hope. We go to Dr. Jesus. Because he is our healer. Because the world sees our outward appearance, but Jesus sees exactly what's going on in our heart. He doesn't need ultrasound, he has ultra power. He can diagnose what exactly is needed in the heart of every single one of us in this church this morning. Jesus is the expert heart physician. And what we always need to cure our ailments is more of Jesus. Jesus himself is our heart medication. We need to talk to him openly and honestly, read about him, sit with him, follow his ways, love him, and give our hearts over to him. He is the supreme heart doctor. It says here, take as often as required. We can take as much of this heart medication as we want, as much as possible. We cannot overdose. Jesus is the only medicine to remedy hard hearts, small hearts, broken hearts, blocked hearts, cold hearts, grieving hearts, suffering hearts, prideful hearts, anxious hearts. If we ask him, Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will clean out our hearts, detoxify our hearts, soften them, renew our hearts. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I've been thinking of this verse a lot this week. Thank God that this is possible, folks, because if not, my heart would be a complete stinking mess right now, clogged up with junk. But knowing Jesus gives us the opportunity to constantly keep a clean, renewed heart and give us hope. In this passage from Luke today, Jesus is only a matter of days away from the cross. It's the beginning of the end of his earthly life. He could have escaped it. He is God after all. He did it because of his own heart, which overspills with love. Jesus says, j'adore. Eric, bienvenue. In French, of course, it means I love. Jesus loves because he is love. And what does Jesus love? You. Did you know that Jesus speaks every language on earth? But whatever language Jesus speaks, it's always the same message. I love you. His heart is full of love for you. That beautiful song this morning, such love. He died to take all our sins on himself. All the sins we've ever committed, all the sins we're ever going to commit in the future. His heart for us overflows with love. He died so that we could find our way back to our Father God. And as we get closer to the cross of Easter, let's really think about that and give thanks to Jesus in our hearts. So how do we respond to the heart of Jesus? Well, the poor widow gave what she had with all her heart. She knew that it wasn't really about money. In an upside-down world that has always been obsessed with wealth and position and possession, God isn't counting our coins. He's counting our commitment to him. He was moved by the widow's heart. She believed in and wanted to contribute what she could to the kingdom of God. Jesus is not looking at the size of our wallets, but the size of our hearts. He wants all that we have spiritually. He wants our whole hearts, our whole selves. He wants us to be all in for him. Can we do that? Can we make that heart commitment to Jesus every day? Jesus sacrificed his whole life for us. It was a personal sacrifice for you and me personally. And it was willingly done with every part of his big, soft, loving heart. Thank you, Jesus, with all my heart. Father God, as Easter approaches, we remember the sacrifice Jesus made to bring us back to you. Soften us, grow us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that our own hearts beat in rhythm with the very heart of Jesus. Amen.